A man went to Voltaire. He said, "I think I have made a mistake." He said, "What's that?" He said, "I have fallen in love. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, so I thought I'd use this illustration." He said, "I have fallen in love with a young woman. And I told her my age. I told her I was 60. And maybe I would have had a better chance if I would have told her I was 50. Voltaire looked at him and says, "You might do better if you told her she's 70. You were 70, and if she loved you then, you wouldn't have to worry about being 60. When I think about the reading of this passage of Scripture, I think about those actions that we are called to do and to experience. I've often said, if I was governor, one of the things that I would not tolerate in my state was littering. It really distresses me when I ride around here, and I was riding down the street here in front of the church the other day, and I saw one of those disposable plastic bottles, and I thought about the individual that just discards things like that, and those of us who are Methodist ministers particularly, we sometimes in our appointment, we may find ourselves serving more than one church. And at one time, I had three churches down in Walterboro, and I'll have to admit that I loved it. I love preaching in the morning in the early morning. I'm a morning person by nature, and I love being up in the morning and riding out across through that swampy area and experiencing the early morning sunrise and seeing the seasons as the leaves would change or whatever would be transpiring and the different things that would experience in nature, rainy days, dry days, and the beautiful swamps, and just watching them as they changed. But one area that I remember every time I would ride through there after a heavy rainy season, the whole edge of the bank and sometime as far back as you could see was covered in milk jugs and disposable bottles. And my heart would just sink. And I was wondering if the individuals that lived there cared and if they took any time to go out and to pick up the trash and to make that beautiful countryside more appealing. I accept the reality begrudgingly that we live in a throwaway world. Someone said that we need a new type of mall. We need a mall where you can go and get things repaired. Especially since imports are so rampant in our economy now, it's really hard to find a place where you can get parts if you are mechanical to fix things, and even some of the parts that we receive now are not of the highest quality. I was talking with a mechanic the other day, and he was fussing about the quality of parts he was having to put on automobiles. A throwaway society, a society that discards and puts in the trash, and it's out of sight and out of mind. And yet, when we look across our state, we see these massive landfills and things of that nature. And one of the redeeming aspects, I was in Bishopville one day and was playing golf down there, and a gentleman was saying, "We're getting a whole lot of methane now for this. It's being shipped to other places." And I said, "Okay, maybe that's the redeeming fact." And I was reading in Switzerland, I think it is, or Denmark, where they're digging them up now, and they have like gold mines with all this that they can recycle and reuse. So maybe there is a redeeming element to it all. But I still hurt when I see the trash and things thrown around without any sense of ownership. I was touched this week when I watched the people in Egypt. They were picking up the stones that they had been throwing in rebellion just a few days ago, and they were putting them back in the streets, rebuilding their city and endeavoring to work together to make their country more acceptable and to be more constructive as they rebuild not only their streets but their lives. Jesus has been talking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks to us about one, you remember, was our attitude, and we preached on the Beatitudes. And then he mentioned to us that we were salt and light. And all these are somewhat easy to wrap your emotions and your intellect around and think about how you can use. And then you get to this passage of Scripture here where he really tells us what's expected of us. I was talking with a minister just this week, and we were talking about our commitment to Christ and the church, and he looked at me and he said, "You know what it is? It's cheap grace. Cheap grace that enables us to not be responsible and yet profess that we are Christians." And Jesus says, "Well, let me tell you something." And in Jesus' day, the only person that could be accused of adultery were the women. And Jesus said, "Let me tell you something, man. If you even look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery." Well, you know what was the repercussions of someone caught in adultery? Well, the woman was to be stoned. So Jesus says, "Man, you are just as guilty as the woman. You have committed adultery." And then he says something to us about if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And I realize this is an exaggeration for effect. I mean, what sin could you not commit with your left eye that your right eye did? And what sin could you not do with your left hand that you couldn't do with your right hand? But Jesus is bringing to us the reality of the level of expectation concerning our attitude and concerning the way that we choose to live our relationships in our society. He's talking to us about those things that we can hold dear to ourselves. I guess most of us, if we admitted that there are some attitudes, that there are some things in our life that it would be good if we would just cut them out. I was talking with a minister, and we were saying that neither one of us had ever found the perfect church, and that if we did, we should not be the pastor. Because if we ever found the perfect church and we became the pastor, then that would mean that they had an imperfect pastor in a perfect church. I remember telling someone as well that if you find the perfect church, don't join it. Because once you join it, it will not be perfect anymore. And so the reality is, as was mentioned in our children's sermon, that we are not always perfect. We don't always have the perfect motivation. But God is still reaching out to us and calling us to be His disciples. I mean, How many of us even remember what our New Year's resolution was about? And how many of us have kept our New Year's resolutions? There are some things in our life that we just let slip away. Well, there are some things in our life that we can embrace, that we can embrace, that God wants us to be a good parent. There are things that can get in the way of being a good parent. God wants us to be a good disciple and a good wife, a good son or daughter. And there are those attitudes that get in our way. And Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, even if you're at the altar and you're going to give a gift to God, and you realize that there's an issue, unresolved issue between your brother and your sister, leave the altar there and go and make it right. You see, there is a way to be a good parent. There is a way to be a good wife. There is a way to be a good son or daughter. A good scout leader. And one is to have the right attitude and to do the right things and to cut out those things that are causing frictions in the family. Cut out those things that are causing frictions as an adolescent. Those things that are causing frictions within our church body. I have a very dear friend, and I've mentioned it several times, but one of the things that he is he is an alcoholic. Every time I talk to him, practically, it seems that we talk about his sobriety. He has been sober 30 some odd years. The other day on a trip with he and his wife, he stopped by the home, and I have forgotten the name of the man that started AA, and he just wanted to go to this house that is now a historical site. He just wanted to go in there and to feel some of the presence of this man that he owes his life to. And he went in and he wept. And he told the individual there, he said, "I owe my life to this man. I owe my life to AA and for what it has meant." And AA has a policy. And its policy is that if you're an alcoholic, you have to practice total abstinence. You don't participate in social drinking. You don't participate. You cannot. And so in our life, those things that are a hindrance to us, that causes us to be less than what we should be, the ability to be what we should be is there within us to be a good parent, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good son or daughter. It's there. It's to include it, to embrace it, and to follow that in our life. Somebody said that there's a saying out there called the Darwin event. And the Darwin event is when people do some just absolutely stupid things. This one man was drinking, and he had drunk too much, and he went to the cabinet to find some more and became convinced that someone had stolen some of his alcohol. He determined that it was the neighbor. And he decided that what he would do is that he would make it look like his neighbor came over and stabbed him. So he found some more alcohol and he drank a little more and he stabbed himself and called 911 and said that his neighbor had stabbed him. Feeling that maybe he hadn't done exactly good enough job, he decided to stab himself again. Now this is called the Darwin event. It's for people that have done really stupid stuff. And so he stabbed himself again, and he stabbed his aorta. And he went running into the living room where there were other people, and he began to scream, and he died. We think about stupid things. I guess that's one of the stupidest. But how about the positive things that we choose to do within the church? How about the things that God would call us to do to be more like Him? God calls us, as I've already alluded to, and I'll say again, be a good parent, a good church member, a good Sunday school, a good men's club, a good women's club, a good Boy Scouts troop. It takes people who are faithful, who are committed, and who are willing to hear the gospel that calls us. Just cut out the bad stuff. Embrace the good. Amen.